So nice to have you back here on the Catholic Buzz. Welcome to you. Another episode. This is episode number 19. Whether you're watching here on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, and if you are watching on YouTube, you will see here that I'm joined by my good friends, Josh Sullivan.
Hello.
Over here, and with a fresh cut and a clean shave, Matt Van Milligan. Matt, you're looking younger every day.
That's the goal.
Start
calling them Benjamin Buttons.
Benjamin Button. How are you guys? I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
You've been gone for a while.
Yeah, I've been gone for a while.
How about you? You were driving down south quite a few times.
Yes, I did drive down south for an ordination, like I talked about last week. Yeah. And this past weekend, I was at a wedding of a good friend of mine. I was a groomsman and not the celebrant. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a great
I guess that doesn't happen as often now that you're a priest, right?
Exactly.
You're a groomsman.
You're more often a groomsman than always a groomsman.
Never the groom in my case.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What did I miss in your lives?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we had the house that we bought. So we've spent the whole time just trying to get things started, fixed up. I started work yesterday on Monday, and so it's kind of my first time back, and so we were trying to get everything done as much as we could before then. We didn't get everything, but
yeah, summer kind of flew by. It was an unusual summer.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of just flew by.
Yeah.
And you're going back to work too.
Yeah, we're back from camping, getting everything organized, and getting ready for work.
Yeah. So is that what motivated you to shave? Because you're back from camping.
Yeah, because I'll be seen by other human beings.
Yeah, back to the professional life. Eh? Yeah.
No, this is just what I look like between, you know, summer and February, and then it just...
This is the fall-winter Matt look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so today we're talking about something really interesting, and I don't know if a lot of people really know the story yet, but it's really important.
Yeah.
And when I heard it, I was quite shocked, actually, that something like this could happen today. But obviously, when you stop and think about it, it can happen. But it also brings a lot of questions, a lot of thoughts to my mind about the responsibility the church has and the church's ministers have to execute the sacraments as the church prescribes them, right? And
it's black and white. There's not a lot of gray area when you're distributing or performing?
Yeah.
Administering a sacrament?
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just tell you what happened, okay? Because there's sort of a chronology here of what happened. Just at the beginning of August of this year, the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, this is the group in the Vatican that sort of oversees the sacraments and answers questions people have about the faith. So they were questioned about if baptisms in particular were valid, if a priest or a deacon who administered the sacrament didn't use the proper formula, as in didn't say the exact words the church said, didn't use or follow the correct instructions, okay? Mm. So, of course, we know the answer. Like, we know the answer is no. It's not valid if you don't use the proper text. But the Vatican...
I pour water on you, and you are now Christian.
Yes,
that doesn't
exactly.
work, right? You have to say.
And I guess there were concerns, you know, so maybe I should just say what the Catholic Church says is you have to be baptized with the minister saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are some churches that baptize not using those words.
Yeah.
I baptize you in the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sanctifier. That's not valid, okay? And people might say, well, those are just different words, but there is a deeper meaning to that we'll get into a little bit later. So the Vatican was just doing what they do. They clarified an easy answer, right? They said,
no, you got to use those words.
Yeah, so they said, they just clarified. You have to use the words that I said. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So they released this thing on August 6th. So I know our diocese sent all the clergy this thing just saying, here's what the Vatican released and make sure you read it. So I'm assuming most dioceses did that. Then what happened was in the Archdiocese of Detroit, a young priest by the name of Father Matt Hood, okay, ordained in 2017.
So newbie.
newbie. He's been ordained 3 years, okay? He reads this note from the Vatican. And he remembers that he has a video of his baptism done in the 90s, okay? So he goes back and watches the video and realizes that the deacon who baptized him did not use the proper formula, meaning his baptism is invalid.
So that would mean that the sacraments after his baptism aren't necessarily valid.
I know.
It's specifically his holy orders, which isn't valid.
Isn't that nuts?
So he wasn't actually a priest.
So it had a domino effect.
Yeah.
He was not baptized properly, which means he was not baptized.
And you have to be baptized in order to receive all the other sacraments.
You have to be baptized as entry into the Christian faith to become a Christian. So here was this young man who thought he had received his first communion, received his sacrament of confirmation, had gone to confession.
Did 8 years of seminary.
was ordained a deacon and then a holy priest, all invalid because he was not even a Christian.
Technically.
Well,
he wasn't a Christian, but I mean by the paperwork and everything else.
Right? Well, I mean more than the paperwork, right? Like at our baptism, our identity is changed. It's an ontological change.
Yeah.
So that Christian mark on your soul
isn't there unless you say
not there in this case.
Yeah.
So imagine, I'm just thinking as a priest myself, you know, looking back, and so he's not validly ordained. So just like you said, the domino effect of so if he wasn't baptized, he's not a deacon, he's not a priest, wasn't confirmed, which is true. But now there's another domino effect because since he was quote unquote ordained in 2017, invalidly now that we know, anything he's done
is invalid. So any baptism he performed.
Baptism is specific.
Okay. But
any confessions that he's heard, those people have to go back
to confession
to receive sacramental absolution. Confirmation, if he's administered the sacrament of confirmation, those people have to come back and get confirmed. Mass, if you've been attending Sunday Mass with this Father Matt, the Mass was not valid because he was not a validly ordained priest. Breaks my heart. Honestly, it breaks my heart.
And no fault of his.
No fault of his. No. Yes, let's be clear about that. No fault of his. He was
doing everything right.
I mean, he put his faith, pun intended, in the church who baptized him, in the church's minister who baptized him. I mean, none of us would assume that the person who baptized us got it wrong.
No.
Right?
So if that's the case. So in the case where he was baptized, he has a video of it.
Yes.
So he can go back and look at it, see that. I mean, he did everything right. And it's the fact that he then went and told the proper authorities
his baptism.
So he did the right thing there.
It's worth noting, too, what the archdiocese's response was. It wasn't just, okay, well, you're not a priest. Sorry.
No.
And then kind of show him the door. It was, we need to do everything we can do to rectify this as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So in fairly short order, he was baptized,
confirmed,
reordained as a deacon, and then ordained as a priest.
Yeah, that's the Archdiocese of Detroit.
Yeah.
And what they've done is fantastic. How they've responded to it is fantastic. If you want to read it, it's on the Archdiocese of Detroit website. They've listed tons of questions people might have. They've done a fantastic job responding to this. They are trying to contact people that Father Matt may have.
Yeah.
You know, people thought that Father Matt had given them a sacrament that is no longer valid. And like you said, Matt, he was baptized, confirmed, reordained a deacon. Well, ordained a deacon. And ordained a priest. So now he's like good to go.
Now he's good.
And everything's legit. But
okay, so there are certain sacraments he was allowed, certain sacraments he's not. Now, from my understanding, it would be the sacraments in where he was, as a priest, there are only certain sacraments a priest can administer or under the holy orders as a priest or a bishop that he can administer, which is in persona Christi, right? And so in the person of Christ.
Right.
And so that would be confession. It would be transubstantiation of the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And then confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
But you can baptize.
The sacrament of the sick.
The sacrament of the sick. Yep. But you can baptize, because I could baptize somebody.
Right. So that's a good point. So if people were baptized by Father Matt during the period of time where he was not validly ordained, those baptisms are still valid. Why?
Provided that he used the proper form.
Exactly. He used the proper form. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He used the proper form, we're assuming, but yes. In the documents that have been released, it says that he has. Yeah. So those people are validly baptized because you don't necessarily
have to be.
Well, that's a whole other thing, but you know, someone else other than a deacon or priest can validly baptize. There are certain
circumstances.
In this case, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Because the person thought they were ordained. They used the proper formula.
And now, so that would also be marriages too then, because marriages could also be blessed?
Yeah, so a marriage can be witnessed
by
someone that's not a priest or deacon in extraordinary circumstances, right? I guess this would be one of them too. But the Archdiocese of Detroit is asking people who are married by Father Matt to go and speak to their pastor to talk about the details surrounding their wedding and to determine if they were if it was a sacramental marriage or not.
Because that's marriage. I think is the interesting one. Or just talking briefly about it before that other sacraments you can see are pretty clear. Like this, the priest does this, and this is
in
sacramental
the
effect.
Yeah.
But marriage, technically, the people getting married are the celebrants, or that you marry
the two
each
people
other.
And God together.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're talking about if in the context of a mass, if the mass itself is invalidated, does that throw the validity of the marriage into question?
Oh, interesting. But you could be married without a mass.
Yeah, but like in general, it's like you, this poor guy, but you couldn't hope for a better thought experiment in kind of understanding how this, sacramental realism at a very kind of practical level. It's really interesting too, because marriage itself affects an ontological change. All the sacraments affect an ontological change. But it's really interesting to say, okay, what are the components that need to be there, especially when there are multiple, actually constitute a valid marriage in this case, but sacrament in general.
Yeah, my question that I have about marriage is, obviously the mass celebrated would be invalid if Father Matt was in that period of time when he wasn't validly ordained, and then I think we were saying, Matt, before we went on the air, that the nuptial blessing.
Yeah.
Right? The nuptial blessing would be invalid, I guess, as well.
But technically, they're still married in the eyes of the church?
Right. I would, yes.
Because again, it's extraordinary circumstances. It's not an everyday thing. It's not a, right? But I mean, even just going back, because I know that in specific Christian faiths even, if you are married in the Christian faith, coming back into the Catholic faith, let's say you left the Catholic faith, you got married, you've lived with this person for 20 years, and then you've come back to your faith, let's say, and you want... But it's not like you're good. You had kids with this person, stuff. You're not gonna divorce the person necessarily. So you come back to the Catholic Church and you get your wedding, your marriage blessed.
Yeah.
Right.
Validated. Yeah.
Validated. Exactly. Yeah. And so, So that's the way. Okay. So now my big question.
Yes, I figured you'd have.
I was baptized back in the 80s. Let's just say I have questions about, I don't know who baptized me, to be honest. I'm sure there's a baptismal certificate out there with all that information on it.
That's probably a good place to start.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a baptism certificate or not.
I know I do. But if I just am concerned, let's say, about the person, maybe it was a priest or a deacon that maybe had some different thoughts about what the Catholic Church was at the time, or, you know, let's say a little more, I don't want to say liberal thinking, but just more, not necessarily teaching what the Catholic Church taught. Maybe they were outside that. But if they're the ones to baptize me, I'm a little concerned about my personal baptism then. What do I have to do?
Well, first, I would say maybe the word I've been using, talking about Father Matt and this situation here has been innovative. Right? Yeah. Because the church in the 1970s and 80s and 90s, there were some innovations happening, right?
Yeah.
Of people trying to make, thinking that they were trying to make the sacraments more meaningful for someone, or personal, or more relatable.
Yeah.
And so they were using their own innovations. Now, the church prescribes the sacraments because Jesus gave them to us.
Yeah.
And Jesus, they're Jesus's sacraments. So we do what the church tells us to do.
Yeah, you can't
because
do it on your own.
Because that has been sort of preserved for our history. So first of all, it is wrong for a minister of the church to be innovative.
Yeah.
When, and not in all things, I mean, you know, but when changing the sacraments, changing the wording, or not following exactly what the church says, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We are in persona Christi, we are servants of the church. We are not our own, we don't run our own business of sacraments.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So that was, I think, the problem with this deacon that they name. He was being innovative, mm-hmm. right? Your question was if you thought...
I'm concerned that maybe my baptism wasn't valid either.
Yeah.
And does that mean that all my stuff is not valid? And then, like, now again, I have no proof.
Yes.
And so I'm just guessing, and I really, like, if I'm doing this off the fly, but like, if my thought was, if I go back and I look and see that it's a specific person that baptized me, and I know of them to be, let's just not say, directly in line with what the church teaches, then I would have a concern that I wasn't baptized properly.
So, yes.
So do I, but I have no proof. So what do I do?
We don't want this case from the Archdiocese of Detroit, even though it's very shocking and... really, like, mind-blowing for me.
Yeah.
We don't want this to cause panic in people and to think, like, what if it's happened to me? And,
yeah.
And think, because that's... The church presumes your sacraments to be valid unless it's proven otherwise.
Got it.
So if you have a video...
if I have a video,
if you're like Father Matt Hood, and you have a video of your baptism that shows...
There's evidence... Yeah. There's evidence to the contrary.
Or else the church presumes your sacraments to be valid. So don't panic about it. We don't want parents and godparents, grandparents to start thinking their children or grandchildren aren't validly
baptized.
Haven't validly received the sacraments. If you have a legitimate concern, however, if you know or have heard or witnessed something that was not legitimate, it's your duty to first come talk to your pastor. Your pastor will probably have a good way of handling it. You are also free to go directly to the bishop, but a good start would be to talk to your pastor. If you have a concern that a sacrament you witnessed or experienced was not validly conferred or administered.
Yeah, and then unless you have a strong indication or inclination that something was done improperly, presuming validity seems to be... The way that produces the least anxiety.
That's right.
But there is a reasonable investigation that happens just for the fact that the church does want to do things properly. So the example I give is my own kind of reception into the church, is that I was baptized as a child in a Protestant denomination. And throughout the RCIA process, they asked me to acquire my baptismal records. So I reached out to the pastor of the church that I was baptized in. He said, I'll have a look. I followed up 2 months later, like still looking. 2 months later, we don't have them. So I received a provisional baptism that it's when I was confirmed to say that, okay, in the case that you weren't baptized, I baptize you.
Yeah.
To cover it.
A conditional baptism. Yeah.
So, and it really does speak to, and in this case as well, it would have been a lot easier, especially from an administrative perspective, to just say, it's fine. Like, he did everything in good faith.
Yeah.
He's a priest. That's fine. Yeah. But that the church, once that clarification is given, doesn't really have that option.
Yeah.
That it's that for the reason that Father said, like, the church doesn't invent the sacraments.
Yeah.
It's a caretaker of the sacraments. The sacraments were given by Christ.
Yeah.
And on that note, some people might say, isn't it ridiculous that because one word or two words or three words were changed, that this wasn't valid? Like, people might say, what is the difference between saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, or we baptize, like, that in this case, in Father Matt Hood's case, It was the words, we all baptize you, as if like everyone around the room was doing it. So people might say, come on, all this stuff because of a word or two. And the diocese, the Archdiocese of Detroit has given it a great explanation. And it says, I'll just read right from their statement, okay? It says, it might be perceived as an overly strict interpretation. However, theology is a science that studies what God has told us. And when it comes to sacraments, there must not only be the right intention by the minister, but also the right material, and the right form, the words and gestures.
Okay.
So to you explain that, so the words have to be correct, the intention of the minister has to be there, and the material, what we call the matter.
So you can't baptize them with apple juice.
Exactly.
It has to be water.
It has to be water. Just like with the Eucharist, it has to be unleavened bread and wine.
And it has to have gluten.
Yes.
Right? We talked about that. Yeah.
You know? But, so you can't use...
Grape juice.
You can't use grape juice.
It has to be wine.
Exactly. So all this stuff matters because I like that. We study what God has told us.
Yeah.
You know? And that's very true. So I think it's not overly strict interpretation. I think it's not overreacting. I think, honestly, it's a really unfortunate situation what happened here to Father Matt, but the Archdiocese of Detroit has done a fantastic
job handling it. Yeah.
Now they have to contact the people, and a lot of people have to be rebaptized or reconfirmed. All this stuff, you know?
And confessions.
And when I was thinking of rebaptized, I was thinking of other people who were baptized by this same deacon as Father Matt.
Should have to look into it.
We'll have to. Yeah. And the diocese says that they're in the
process of contacting
those people, because of course there are baptismal records and stuff.
Yeah.
So people who would say, isn't that kind of a weird thing? So what does that mean for us? I think, number one, like, we should appreciate when our priests and deacons do the correct thing.
Yeah.
So I think we should have a newfound appreciation for that. And number two, I think this might be helpful in us really understanding what the church does
and how serious it is too.
Yeah.
Like it isn't just a willy-nilly, I'll just make up the words. Like the priest doesn't just make up the words when this happens or that happens. There are times where you can have a prayer off the top of your head, but there are transubstantiation happens. These are exactly the words, even though a priest says them every single day, you still see most priests reading it directly word for word from a book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it is that important. It's not just get the idea right, and that will be good enough. You know?
Right. I've had the experience where, I've gone to a hospital or to visit someone who's there, and you don't know the family.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know the people in the room. Maybe you're the priest on call. I always take that opportunity to introduce myself and give my credentials. You know, like, I'm Father Daniele. I'm the pastor of this church here in North Bay, or whatever it might be, wherever you are.
So they can look you up.
Yeah, because you just never know. I remember when I was in the seminary in the Diocese of London, I went to St. Peter's Seminary in London, and the bishop at that time, Bishop Fabro, at that time, had to make a statement. And I remember watching him on CTV News that there was a man going around impersonating
a priest.
And he was kind of going off to nursing homes and things like that. And he had to declare that this person wasn't a priest of the Diocese of London, or, in fact, not a priest
at all. Now, you know? That's actually one of the... So just on that note, because it kind of gets into it. Isn't that one of the more grievous sins can be... imitating a priest, because you can hear confessions and you can hear, and then administer sacraments, not administer, but falsely administer sacraments and stuff. I thought that was one of the ones that, if you were pretending to be a priest, is that one of the ones that you have to actually, get confession from the church? Like, is that a thing, or is that just something I might have heard that might not necessarily be doctrine? Do you know?
I don't know. It seems pretty sacrilegious. I don't see how someone could do that innocently, or unless they were pretty severely mentally unwell.
Yeah, exactly.
But that would be different, right? Because that wouldn't be intent. Yeah. The intent wouldn't necessarily be.
I don't know if you have to go, you're asking if you have to go to a bishop for confession or.
Well, I wasn't thinking bishop. I think permission from the Catholic.
Grounds for excommunication.
Yeah, by doing that, you excommunicate yourself. and therefore to get back into the church, you need to go through the process of the Vatican.
We're going to look that up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I stumped him.
But you know, you know what's neat? Well, this is another thing to look up then, if you remember. But at one time in Canada, could still be today, it was illegal. It was against the law in Canada to impersonate a priest, just like it is to impersonate a police
officer.
Maybe
that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure they didn't get rid of that law.
Yeah.
You know?
Just one of the ones that aren't called upon as much.
Yeah, exactly. But it was against the law to impersonate a priest.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the same way, it would be illegal to, or presumably, the grounds for that would be illegal to impersonate anyone who holds a position of confidence. So a doctor,
a lawyer,
or a
doctor,
counselor,
exactly.
Or
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So really quickly, too. Let's say I'm watching and I see someone administer the sacraments, a priest. Let's say I'm watching the priest and he says this Creator and the Redeemer and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
What should I do to rectify? You said talk to my pastor, but let's say the pastor is the person. Let's say that it's not a deacon or somebody. It is the pastor that's doing it wrong.
Okay.
What should I do?
So you're asking if you witness...
Something that's either against the doctrine of the church or maybe something that you've read in the bishop. I mean, even during the COVID time. Like, if you see something that happens that the bishop said, this is how things are supposed to be right now, and you see something that's different from that, what should you do to rectify the situation? Like, do you go straight to the Pope? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I know you don't do that, but what should you do?
I think you should follow the Gospels. Jesus gives us sort of a instruction of how to handle conflict, right?
Yeah.
So I would go to that person first. So let's say if it's your pastor.
Okay, let's say it's you. So I go to you and I say, okay, you're baptizing this way. I just watched a podcast and the church is talking about it in Detroit and everything else. It says you're not allowed to baptize this way.
Yeah, I would have that conversation with
the
pastor.
Yeah.
And if he is... completely unaware, let's say, like if it's news to him, which I mean, I don't know how it would be, but let's say it is news to him and he pleads ignorance and he's ready to change his ways, then
that's
good
done.
On you. God bless you. You've done the Lord's work for that day. You can eat meat on Friday. if he says, no, this is the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to continue baptizing people in this wrong way. Then I think you have a responsibility to contact the ordinary, the bishop of the diocese,
and
or the bishop's office.
Okay, so go to them first and see. Because, I mean, there might be, depending on the situation, they might have an explanation as to why they're doing it that way.
Well,
or, I mean, this obviously baptizing the wrong way is wrong.
They might have an explanation.
No, it's not necessarily
in line
with the church.
It's not necessarily the right thing.
Depends on the situation as well. If you're talking about something that the CDF has just given a clear kind of clarification on, nobody should be baptizing in that way.
That's right. That's right.
Now that it's been clarified.
Let's say
it's something that the bishop has given kind of a pretty clear directive, that even going to them personally, they may have a specific dispensation. They may have a special permission to be doing something a specific way.
So assuming that they're doing it all in good faith.
Right.
Before you go and like write a newspaper article or something.
But a conversation is a good way to
start. Conversation. I think people need to be generous to their to their pastors or ministers, you know.
That seems a bit self-interested.
And because it's easy to criticize.
Of course.
You know. So in a case like this where the validity of a sacrament is at hand or at stake, you know, this is a conversation. If he's preaching 2 minutes longer than you like, give the guy a break. Right, Matt? No, I don't. I haven't been preaching long lately, I don't think. Have I?
You haven't been around.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's I think one thing we just want to be clear is not to panic about your sacraments, but to realize that it is a serious... It's a serious responsibility that the church has, but also the faithful have to ensure that we are being provided the sacraments in the way the church has prescribed them to be given to us, right? I like the comment in this document from the Archdiocese of Detroit. It says, God has bound himself to the sacraments but God is not bound by the sacraments.
That's right.
So God is bound himself to the sacrament. That's the way God communicates to us, gives us his grace, you know? Sure, things can happen outside. He's not bound by the sacraments. He can act
the sacraments
outside.
Are the ordinary way.
Exactly. It's the That's ordinary way. So they're very important to the life of the Catholic. So really sad. Maybe we can pray for Father Matt. He's a newly ordained priest now. He was ordained just a few weeks ago.
He was. I know. It's that's funny. But I want to say, like, because of everything, and because he would know, like, going into this, how much this could affect, I have all the respect in the world for him because of what he did, because he came for, like, I got to be honest, if I saw that and I thought, oh, and I knew this, you know what I mean? Like, I knew, okay, this is, oh my God, oh my God. I would hesitate to maybe think, well, maybe I should just bury this, like burn this video and no evidence is there.
Could you imagine his reaction when he saw that?
No, I couldn't, yeah.
Poor guy. Well, maybe we should try and contact him and get him to tell us a little bit about it on our podcast.
Or even on your call to serve.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Because he's a new ordained priest.
He's a newly ordained priest now. Maybe we should talk to him about it.
As a case study, it really does bring your attention to the details. Sacramental realism.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah, sacraments affect an ontological change. So finding out that you thought you were a priest and you're not, that's as jarring and as shocking as, like, finding out you're not married and thought you were married for 20 years or something like that. It's not just an accidental or descriptive change that happens. It's not like I'm putting on a different color shirt or I'm changing my profession. It's like it's a core aspect of your identity that's just suddenly gone.
Yeah.
It does speak to, or it's a testament to kind of him as a pastor, that he's identifying with all these people whose kind of situation has been kind
Absolutely.
Of cast into
yeah.
invalidity, that he's identifying with their struggle directly because it's affecting him primarily.
Yeah. And God bless him for the Christian journey he was on.
Yeah.
Even though he was not a baptized Christian, you know, to still be able to pray and hear God calling him and all these things.
Imagine how many lives he changed when he wasn't a priest. That's what I want to say. Yeah. He probably had some awesome conversation stuff. And just goes to show you that a regular layperson could do that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the same context. But
but it does goes to show that, you know, God does, he's not bound to the sacraments.
Yeah.
So maybe it gives us hope for if we have family members or friends who aren't baptized, or a lot of people's grandchildren aren't getting baptized now, that there's hope for them to discover God in their life and lead them to a path where, you know,
some
blessings really come from it. Thanks for this conversation today.
Great one.
I think it's and it just happened. I think if people want to read more about it, they should. It's right on the main page of the Archdiocese of Detroit's website. And there's a whole, I think it's AOD.org is the website of the Archdiocese of Detroit. There's a whole bunch of questions we haven't even had time to talk about.
Them.
There was a question about, you know, what if I received the last rites from Father Matt and my, you know, what if my parent died and I received the last rites? And the diocese was just very honest. They just said, you know, they did not receive the sacrament. It was not confirmed.
The sacrament of the sick.
Yeah. It's a pretty intense situation that's affected a lot of people. So it's good to talk about and good to bring to our realization too, because I think the more we hold each other accountable, you know, laity, ministers of the church, the more we avoid situations like this. I know I'm going to go back and check who baptized me on my certificate.
I know. I got to be honest. I feel like...
No, remember, we don't want people to panic. Also, just before we go, we had just a few seconds left. Matt, you'll find this very interesting because Josh was contacted this week by the Catholic Register, which is a newspaper in Toronto, and it's the Catholic publication for all of Canada, and they wanted to write an article about the Catholic Buzz podcast.
Oh, wow.
Talk about podcasts that were podcasts during this time of COVID, and how Catholics are Catholic podcasts and stuff that are out there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're getting famous.
We're getting famous. So if you thought the questions about Matt were a lot in quantity just here in Northern Ontario, wait till people start listening from across the country. I can't wait for that moment. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for joining us. I hope that we'll continue the conversation next week with another great topic.
It's our 20th
episode.
It's a big one.
Next week. So we'll see you next Tuesday for Matt Van Milligan and Josh Sullivan. I'm Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.